Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you. We give you the praise and give you the glory. Can I get somebody to say amen?
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, because you have uttered your voice before your army. Hallelujah. The Lord gave the word, and great is the company that publishes it. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself, Lord, in the message of the Lord today. As always, we thank you. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Everybody, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Not for me. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I have a message that may run into next week. We'll see how much of it we can do today. But I'm going to start today on blow the trumpet. All about Jesus. So it's a two-part message. And it's going to be all about Jesus. But we're going to blow the trumpet. You know, before we start here, you know, I was seeking the Lord and so forth. I mean, it's kind of like in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. The prophet said, you know, I'll stand on my watch and see what the Lord will answer me. And the Lord, you know, said unto him, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. Well, you know, I was standing on my watch and asking the Lord and so forth. And then the Lord said, blow the trumpet. That's right. Blow the trumpet and so on. And he said, but do not give an uncertain sound. Oh, wow. You know, so we're going to blow the trumpet this morning. There's a verse of scripture in Joel chapter 2. It's great reading if you want to read it. It talks about the army of the Lord and so forth. But in verse 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain and so forth like that. You know, so we're going to do some of that today, and I'm going to explain it. Well, let me start by explaining about trumpets. So I'm going to give this like a teaching and maybe a little preaching and so on. You know, but let me explain about the trumpets. In ancient Israel, they always used the trumpets. And we've seen the trumpet throughout the scriptures, from the book of Exodus all the way clear on to the book of Revelation. Literally dozens and dozens of scriptures talk about how God uses the blowing of the trumpet. But I don't have time to go into all those scriptures today. I may just read a couple here and there, but I was going to bring out some points. Now, the Lord himself used the blowing of the trumpet to announce significant events. The first one that we saw was in Exodus chapter 19. And I want you to turn with me real quickly. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to move fast. Turn with me real quickly to Exodus chapter 19. And this was when the glory of the Lord would descend upon Mount Sinai. And here's what the Lord told them. You know, he started preparing them. He told them from Exodus chapter 19, he started telling them from about verse 16. You can read the first few verses before that, but I don't have time to read all of it. So I'm going to just jump to verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day. Now the Lord had told them, you know, get the people ready and so forth. And then, you know, do this on the third day. So on the third day, it came to pass in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, and so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now, this was a different kind of sound. You know, it's not, we don't know whether they blew the trumpet before that or not, but I assume that they blew the trumpet before that. But they never trembled at their own blowing of the trumpet before. You know, perhaps they blew the trumpet when they came out of Egypt, I don't know, but they didn't tremble. But this particular blowing of the trumpet, we're not told that it was the people of Israel that blew the trumpet. Now, I believe that God had this trumpet blowing by himself. Amen. Yes, God has angels that blow trumpets too, you know, in case you don't know that. Now, so let's go here. And the Lord told him, he said, When Moses came up to the mount and so forth with God, the Lord stood with him, you know, on that, on one side of the mount. And verse 18, Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because that the Lord descended upon it, you know, in the smoke. Therefore, you know, he ascended in the smoke and a furnace, and the whole mount greatly quaked. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, the Lord spake, you know, and so forth. And Moses answered, you know, I mean, the Lord, you know, God answered, Moses spake unto the Lord, and God answered him by a voice. So we see that the trumpet in this place actually heralded the glorious appearing of the Lord on Mount Sinai. You have to read the whole chapter to see how great, you know, that place was. The mountain was all together in a fire and a smoke. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, there are many scriptures, and I will just jump through some of the scriptures right now just to show you where the scriptures have mentioned the sounding of the trumpet and all of that and so forth. But before I go through all those other scriptures, in the book of Numbers chapter 10, that's where the Lord instituted the ordinance of the trumpets. There was an ordinance of the trumpets. So turn with me to Numbers chapter 10. And let's just look at a few of the verses. I don't know if I can read all the verses that I intended to read, but Numbers chapter 10, this is where God introduced the ordinance of the trumpets and commanded them to do it. And I'm going to bring out something that is significant here. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make unto thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. So we see that God gave a purpose right here. For the calling of the assembly, and, you know, for all your journeys, you know, of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves together, you know, to thee, and so on. So he gave them commandments of what to do. And he said, you know, they will be at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, if they blow with one trumpet, God told him to create two trumpets. But he said, look, if they blow with one trumpet, it's going to be for the gathering of the princes. But if they blow with the two trumpets, it's going to be for the gathering of all the people and so on. So he began to give them instructions. And he gave it to the sons of Aaron. In verse 8, he said, the sons of Aaron, you know, they will blow the trumpet. And, you know, they shall be to you. I mean, he said, this will be to you for an ordinance in all your generations. Can you say praise the Lord? So we see that he instituted the blowing of the trumpets. And there were many things they used the trumpets for in those days. They used it to sound, you know, blow the trumpet for their feasts and so forth. In Leviticus chapter 23, you know, there's a feast of trumpets. One day we'll go more into that. But, you know, it talks about the feast of the trumpets, the blowing of the trumpet and so on. You know, that they used it to blow the sounding of the new moon and the Sabbath and weddings and events. And then they also use it to call attention of the princes. If they blow the one trumpet, it is to call the princes. If they blow the two trumpets, it is to call the entire congregation. You know, and the people were trained. The people were trained to understand the sound of the trumpets. You know, there was a certain sound. If the trumpet blew a certain way, it sounded a certain way and it meant something. If it blew another way, it sounded a certain way and it meant something else. And depending on the number of trumpets that blew, whether it was one trumpet or two trumpets, you know, it would direct the attention and the action that they would take. Are you still following me? So there were differences for these trumpets and how they blew and so forth. I'm just laying a pattern. But it is important that the trumpet must give a correct sound. If the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, well, people get confused. Let's say there was a certain sound that meant, okay, let's gather for the feasts, or the gather for a wedding, or some rejoicing, and so forth. And then, instead of this trumpet giving that joyful sound, let's say the trumpet were to blow a solemn alarm, and a solemn sound. You know, then the people would think, oh, it's a feast, it's a fasting day, rather than it's a feasting day, and they got confused. So the trumpet, it was important for the trumpet to send a clear message. Praise the Lord. Now let's read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is Paul actually talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the speaking in tongues and all of these things, but he brings up a very important information here that we should learn. He says in verse 7, and even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp or trumpet for that matter, except they give a distinction in their sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, then who shall prepare himself to the battle? So, you know, so likewise ye, and then begin to tell them about some other things. But, you know, I want to bring out this information that he brings about, look, it's important for the trumpet to give an appropriate sound. Now, let's say the people understood the sound of an alarm of war. There are some things that can happen when that trumpet blew. You know, if you blow the battle sound, a number of things could happen. Now, the fearful and the abominable, they might flee to their tents when they hear the sound of the blowing of an alarm for battle. The lame and those that, you know, cannot get around too quickly, you know, they have to quickly go and hide. Also, the women and their children better run to the tents and hide. But then there is also the battle warriors. Amen. When they hear the sound of the trumpet that is calling for battle, they gear up. Hallelujah. That's right. They gear up. It's like we have a fire station right here in front of us. You know, that the siren blows a certain way, those people are going to gear up. They're going to gear up and they're going to get in that truck and they're going to head out, you know, to save some soul. Amen. rescue somebody. You know, so they, different things happen. People take different actions based on, you know, their disposition when they hear the sound. But the sound is important to be given. In fact, in the book of Exodus chapter 33, let me jump ahead and just talk about it. In the book of Exodus chapter 33, God begins to talk about, you know, why it is important if there is a watchman that is set on duty to give alarm. He said it is important. Let's turn with me to Exodus chapter 33. And let me just read it real quick. Exodus 33. He says, look, if you set a watchman or watchmen upon your walls, and if they blow the trumpet, good. But if they don't blow the trumpet, then I'm going to hold them accountable. So let me flip through here and get to here. So Exodus chapter 33. Let's see what the Lord has to say about this. I mean, not Exodus, but Ezekiel. I don't know why I said Exodus. Ezekiel, I meant to say. Ezekiel chapter 33. So the Lord said here, verse 3, when the watchman, if he sees the sword that is coming upon the land, and he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if this sword shall come and take him away, then the blood shall be on his own head. Amen. Hello, folks. Because the warning came appropriately, but the person did not take heed. So the blood will be upon his head. But then he goes on to say, look, but if the man did not blow the warning or blew an uncertain sound that people didn't understand and so forth, and then the war came and took the people away, then the blood will be on the hands of the watchman that should have blown that trumpet. And the Lord said to me, I was seeking the Lord, said, blow the trumpet. So I'm going to make sure by the grace of God that it is a clear sound. Amen. Clear sound, so we don't make any mistakes. Now let's see some of the places where Jesus and the Bible in other places talks about the blowing of the trumpet. In the book of Matthew chapter 24, even God using the trumpet to gather the saints. Hello, folks. Matthew 24 and verse 31. Turn with me quickly. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31. And he said, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. You remember I told you before that the angels can blow trumpets too. It's not just Israelites that knew how to blow it. God blew it first before he taught them how to blow it. He can send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven unto another. Praise the Lord. So the Lord also using the sounding of the trumpet to herald his coming. You know, herald his coming and so forth. I mean, there are many other scriptures. Let me quickly read. Even in, concerning the rapture and the resurrection of the dead saints and so forth, the trumpet is used. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. Let's read first quickly 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's read verse 52. I start from 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Can you say amen? Oh yes, I'm looking forward to that. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Now, this is not a trumpet that anybody in Israel is going to blow. This is a trumpet that God commanded to be blown, and it's going to be one of the archangels, boy. I tell you, that blows that trumpet. You know, we'll see that in another scripture. The trumpet will sound. Amen. And the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? If you think that's wonderful, give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. You know, these are some of the greatest promises in the Bible, you know, and when we hear these promises, we ought to shout the victory. But people, you know, these days, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll shout, we talk about prosperity and so on. But, you know, these are the greatest promises in the Bible. That the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and all of us that alive and remain shall be changed, and we shall be caught up to meet with the Lord. One of the greatest promises in that Bible. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. I'm just bringing out some of these verses. I have many more to read, but I cut them out. You know, I'm bringing out some of these verses just to show how God uses the sounding of the trumpet. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So we see that even the sounding of the trumpet is connected even to the raising of the dead. The sounding of the trumpet is connected to the gathering of the elect from the four winds of the earth. The sounding of the trumpet was connected to the appearing of the glory of God on Mount Sinai. And all over the scriptures. And you know, you can read from Revelation chapters 11 all the way to from Revelation chapter 8 all the way to chapter 11, and you can read about the seven trumpets. Now, in the near future, we will go into the book of Revelation. So some of you may not know what those are, but the seven trumpets, when the seventh seal sounded in Revelation chapter 8, we're told that seven angels came out, and there were given unto them seven trumpets. Hallelujah. So clear on from the book of Exodus all through the book of Revelation. Put up that scripture real quick. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1. You know, and let's see how that the angels of God were prepared even with the, you know, sounding of this great thing. When that seventh seal was opened, the first thing that happened that we see was there was a silence. And then verse 2 says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and they were preparing to sound. And there's something, so tremendous happenings that happened when those trumpets sounded. You know, we're going to go into that in the future by the grace of God. So clear on through the book, we see that, you know, the sounding of the trumpets and so on and so forth. Now, I've covered the ordinance of the trumpets that God gave. I've mentioned briefly the Feast of Trumpets in Leviticus 23. I didn't have time to go into all of that, you know. But let me just give you the scripture for that. It's in Leviticus 23, verses 23 and 24. It talks about the blowing of the of the trumpet, for the feast of the trumpets and so on. I don't have time to go into all of that today. So, I've said all of that to say this. You know, when the trumpet sounds, it must give a clear sound, and people must respond somehow. If it is a call of solemn assembly, like it says in Joel, call a solemn assembly, sound the trumpet, blow the alarm, and blow the trumpet and sound the alarm. Gather the people together and so forth. Gather the elders, gather the sucklings, gather all that. You know, people must respond in a certain way. You know, God already described it in Ezekiel 33. If the trumpet blows correctly, but the people do not respond appropriately, then the blood is on their own head. Now, if the trumpet doesn't blow correctly, it blows some message or thing that people don't understand, it confuses noise and so on, you know, then if anything happens to the people unawares, the blood will be on the head of the trumpeter that should have blown the message. So, now where do we stand with that? And what is the message? Let me address us as GMI Church and this ministry. Now, in this place, we're not responsible for the entire body of Christ. There are millions of churches all over the world. Hopefully, many of them are in the true body of Christ. Amen? But we're only responsible right here. Now, so right here, let me remind us of the vision that God gave GMI to start with. And we have, you know, gone this way or gone that way, and sometimes we need to come back to where God put us into action. Amen? All right, so let me tell it to you this way. The Lord gave me a parable this week. I love the parables. I love to read those parables in Matthew 13 and so on about the parable of the gospel of the kingdom. So he gave me a parable. And he said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that's traveling on a journey. Now this is not in the Bible. And he said, and he got into a split in the road. You know, that's a fork in the road. You can go this way or you can go that way. And he takes one of the directions. But it turns out that it's the wrong direction. And then when he's going, I'm using my own words now. That's not exactly how he gave it to me. But when he's going, he realizes that he took the wrong turn. Now, there can be a binary choice at that time, but actually it's three choices that he may have. You know. So, but let's look at least two choices that he may have. Assume it's a binary choice. Once he discovers that he missed the road, now I'm using my own words to explain the parable now, he can do one of two things. He can, you know, say, oh, well, I missed the road, but, you know, I'm sure that there is, if I keep going, you know, I will join the correct road somewhere. So, he can make the assumption in his mind that somehow, if he keeps going, that he will magically run into the correct road. That's one decision that he can make. Or he can turn back to the place where he missed the turn and then take the correct turn. So he has choices. But there is another twist that the Lord showed me. And in fact, he took me back to some years ago. I used to travel around the country and so forth, consulting and so forth. And I went to this place on the East Coast. And on the East Coast, it's not like here. You know, I was in, you know, Pennsylvania, driving in, you know, all those, you know, freeways and so forth. Well, they're not freeways over there. But anyway, driving, you know, and some of those highways there and so on, they have this thing, this divider in the middle of the road. It's like 3 foot high. You can't cross over. I mean, here in Arizona, beautiful, you know. You can, if you miss your turn, you go another mile, you're going to find another exit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But not in some of those places, folks. One night I was coming back from Phoenix, you know, and I got to the airport late in the evening, and I got in my car, and I was going to the place where I stayed. I had a little place where I was staying. And I missed the turn. I got to one place, and I missed the turn. And as I went a little bit, I read, oh, my goodness, I missed the turn. And then I said, well, that's all right. You know, I'll just take the next exit. And then I looked at the gas needle in my car. It was approaching E, because I just left it there that when I came back after the weekend in Phoenix, I'll fill the gas. And if I didn't miss that turn, shortly from the place where I missed the turn would have been a gas station. You know, and I was counting on that. But I missed the turn. And then I was looking for a place to turn back. And folks, I went 30 miles. This highway, I can't call it a freeway, you know, this highway that was there, they had this big cement, you know, bar about 3 foot high dividing the highway. There was no place to make a U-turn, and there was no place to go. You had to keep going. In fact, I had to get to the next toll gate. That's why I said it's not a freeway. I had to get to the next toll gate, and it was 30 miles, and I was panicking because it was dark in the night. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a navigator back then. This was like, I think, maybe 1999 or 2000. I don't know what it was. You know, and I was panicking. And the Lord was using all of that to teach me something this last week. Praise the Lord. And sometimes you want to turn back, and if you don't turn, actually, the truth of the story was, there was one place right after that I could have turned, but I didn't. It looked like, you know, it didn't look like a real turning, you know, but there was an opening. And I said, well, I wasn't sure if the cops were nearby or would pull me over. So I said, well, let me get to the next real turning. And there wasn't one for 30 miles. So we find out, you know, that then there was another time. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a true story. There's another time I came back and I missed my turn. After this one incident, there was another time I came back, I missed my turn, and I stopped dead on the freeway after I missed my turn. I stayed on the side, and I backed the car up because I wasn't going to go through that 30-mile drive again. And I put on my hazard, and I just backed the car up, and I know it was illegal to do, but I didn't care. If police pulled me up, I said, well, I missed my turn. I'm not going to go another 30 miles before I find my turn. I went back to the spot where I missed the turn, and I took the correct turn. Praise the Lord. Well, that's a parable the Lord showed me, and I used my own words to explain it. Gave it to me very briefly. But I want to say, look, this ministry that God gave us, and I want to invite everybody, I talked about it during the break when the kids were in the Sunday school, to go to our website on gmichurch.org. The very first article that we ever wrote, and it's the first thing when you click on the about page, and that's the very first article that we put on the internet before we put all these other embellishments around it. That article is called All About Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can read it and find out what it's all about. And that is what the Lord gave us from the beginning. It is all about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let me read to you here in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Now the ministry that God entrusted into our hands was all about soul winning. It wasn't exactly to turn GMI into some preaching ground. No, but it was for us to win souls. And that's how it all started. And by the grace of God, God called us back to our roots. Hallelujah. And it's all again about Jesus. Like it was from the beginning. And it's all about placing Jesus on top, where he belongs, where only he is the master and the ruler, and he calls the shots. And we wrote an article and put on our website and said, we have, you know, we're going to go back to that. We have irrevocably given control to the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, over time and so forth, you try to do this, you try to do that, you know, and so on. Paul one time, he said, if I should please men, I could not be the servant of Christ. You know, and then you try to do this, you try to do that, you try to do that. But the Lord said, no. Go back to the beginning. Go back to what I called you to do. And he gave us one scripture when we first started. It was John 4 and 34. Just about every page on our website that you go, you'll see it. It's right there at the top. You know, and the scripture says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And by the grace of God, that's exactly how we started, and that's exactly how we are going to continue. Amen. Amen. Having started in the spirit, shall we now be made perfect in the flesh, folks? Oh no, no, no. You know, and you know, so if you make a wrong turn somewhere, you gotta come back and take the right turn. But you, if you don't come back, you may keep going and think that by some magic, you will run into the way. Well, that's a foolish person. You know, maybe you think, well, I just keep going and you know, somehow this road will turn into the other road. Well, you need to take heed to those warning signs. I remember one time I was driving across the country. You know, I drove from here to Philadelphia one time, and I got to those large areas in Texas and so forth, and there were some warning signs. There's some places that you go there in Texas, New Mexico, and those places. You know, and he said, next services, 250 miles. You know, so if, and they'll give a big warning. You better fill up your gas now, because there's one huge expanse of road there that there is no services at all. And if you don't heed that warning, just, you know, like the Bible says, the prudent man foresees the evil. He takes heed of the warning, you know, and hides himself, and he gets, you know, prepares himself. But the foolish continue on, you know, hoping that by some magic, everything will work out well, you know, and then they are punished, you know. And if I had continued on, I drove by that place a couple of times, and every time I saw that big warning, I stopped and I filled up my tank, because after that, it was like 200 and something miles, and there was nothing anywhere. And God help you if your car should break down, you know, in those places, you are on your own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Maybe a little bit sobering message, maybe not as excitable and so forth, you know, but we preach a lot of excitable messages. You know, you have to listen to the spectrum of messages that are on our website. You know, so don't make any easy when you hear one message. You know, there are hundreds of literally messages that we've stood on this platform and have preached on just about every topic. You know, so you have to go there and search them out. But today, this is the message. Now I'm going to read in Psalm 115 and verse 1. This is the part that I really want to stress. Not unto us, O Lord, give the glory unto thy own name. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about giving the glory to his name. And God, we are praying. This prayer is praying that God should give the glory to his own name. Hallelujah. In the book of 1 Chronicles 29 and verses 10 through 13. Thine, O Lord, is the kingdom. Thine is the power. And thine is the glory. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power. And in thy hand is might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. Can you say amen? Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thine is the power and thine is the glory. And he will not share that glory. You know, he has a plan of how he's going to bring the elect into the glory. But we're going to have to go through some things to get there. You know, we've covered that before and so forth. You can listen to a message on the website called The Road to Glory. But that's not my topic today. Now, when people forget, and that's why I love the song that they sang, that, you know, there's an army that's arising. There's the sound of an army. When people forget that we're doing things for the Lord, two things happen. Two things can happen when we forget that it's all about the Lord. One, vain glory may set in. Amen? That's right. Vain glory may set in. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should be careful not to do anything for vain glory. So that's one of the things that may set in when we are when we forget that we are doing things for the Lord. Listen to Philippians chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, you know, but in lowliness of mind, he said, let each person esteem the other better than themselves. It's a golden rule, folks. It's a golden rule, and it's missing today. Mostly, I'm not talking about just this church. I'm just talking in general. It's missing mostly today among even ministers. You know, esteeming one another better than yourselves. You know, even the Bible says, you know, when the prophet prophesy, let them prophesy two or three. But if something be revealed to somebody else, let the first one be quiet, so the other one can speak. But we don't see that today. You know, let nothing be done through glory. When people forget that we are doing things for the Lord, then vain glory might set in. The other thing that can set in when people forget, and Lord, I was before the Lord, spent many days in prayer and fasting this last few weeks. And I was before the Lord. And the Lord was showing me these things. And the other thing that can set in when people forget that it's all about the Lord is bitterness. Hello, folks. The root of bitterness can set in. And this is the same thing that happens even in marriages. You know, husband may say, well, for all the things that I've done for my wife, and so on and so forth, this is what she does now, bitterness sets in. The wife may say, all the things that I've done for my husband, I wash his clothes, I cook his meals, I raise his kids, I do all of this. I mean, I practically, you know, do all this, and he treats me like dirt, you know, and the bitterness sets in. And why? Because they forget that it is not for their husband or their wife that they are doing what they should be doing, or, you know, it is unto the Lord. Amen. But when you lose focus and you think you're doing something for somebody, the bitterness sets in. Now, in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beautiful chapter, talk about various relationships and various things and so forth. You know, what husbands should do, what wives should do, what children should do, what parents should do, what servants should do, what masters should do. Beautiful, beautiful. Starting out by, let our conversation be in heaven and so forth. Follow the things of God and not the things of the world. But in verses 17, 23, and 24, I want to read that for us. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And let's jump here to verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Hallelujah. And listen to verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Hallelujah. For ye serve the Lord Christ. Can you give the Lord a praise offering for that? Hallelujah. But when we lose sight of this commandment, bitterness sets in. Because people say, well, all the things that I did and so forth like that. No, you did it for the Lord. You didn't do it for any man. Praise the Lord. Now, if you want the praise of man, well, you got it. But if you want the praise of the Lord, then don't worry about the praise of man. Because you cannot get both. See, Jesus said you have your reward. When men praise you and so forth, you got your reward. He said they love the high seats because they love the praise of men more than the praise, you know, of God and so forth like that. You know, and you know, but when people forget that, that's when this bitterness sets in and so forth. You know, so if people will praise you and give you accolades and so forth for everything you do, then you already have your reward. But if they don't, then great is your reward in heaven. Hallelujah. That's a great secret for people to learn today, and it will help to get rid of the root of bitterness. When you're doing things for your spouse and they don't acknowledge, and they treat you like dirt and so forth, keep doing it as unto the Lord. And great will be your reward. Now, when you are doing things in the ministry, hallelujah, never for one moment think that you are doing it for a man or for some pastor or for this and that. You are doing it for the Lord. And unto the ministers themselves, to the ministers themselves, never think that you are doing anything for their people. You are doing it for the Lord. Because bitterness will set in at the end of the ministry. I can give you great examples. I just don't have time. Paul, the great apostle Paul, at the end of his age, First Timothy chapter 4. Bitterness started to set in. You know, he said, look, Demas has forsaken me. Only Luke is left with me. You know, and so on and so forth. How can Demas forsake you? Demas forsook the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not about Paul. It's not about anybody. It's about Christ. But you know, after they do all these things and so forth, ministers, they get so weary. And boy, tell me about it. And then they begin to think, wow. And sometimes they even want to quit. Because they think they are doing it for the people. But you are not doing it for the people, folks. You are doing it for the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. So many people at the end of their ministry, they get bitter and so forth. Even Moses, one time, you know, when we have the Korah and all these people and so forth, you know, began to do one thing or another. And he said, look, I've not taken their money. I've not taken anything and so forth. Of course, the Lord came down and he judged those people, you know. But if you're not careful, bitterness sets in. Bitterness, the root of bitterness will trouble you, the Bible says, when it sets in. There was a great prophet in the Bible called Samuel. And you can read this story in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Turn with me real quickly. I'm just going to read two verses there. Verses 6 and 7. Samuel heard from God from the time that he was a young man. Once he knew the voice of God, God began to use him mightily. And finally, at some point, the people said to Samuel, make us a king like all the other nations. We want to be like the other nations. We want a king. And prior to that, it was theocracy. God ruling the people. But then they said, oh, no, we want whatever. I don't know if democracy or whatever they wanted. We want something else. We want a king. We want to be like the nations. Whereas God said, you will be a peculiar treasure to me. because all the earth is mine, but I picked you out of all the nations to be different. Like, oh, no. We want to be like all the nations. And this thing pained Samuel. And he went unto the Lord. The thing, look at this, verse 6. But the thing they displeased Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord. And he said, you know, why are these people saying this and so forth? And listen to the answer of God to Samuel in verse 7. Look at verse 7, everybody. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. That's right. In all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected you, they have rejected me. You see, even Samuel thought it was about himself. You see, he lost focus for a minute. And he took it personal and started to get angry. And God said, never mind all that. It's not you they rejected, it is me. Hallelujah. That's right. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. And the Lord said to me, this last week, he said, is it all for my glory? He asked me to blow a trumpet here today and ask the people, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Whatever it is that you are doing, as a member of the ministry, or even as a preacher, or as a minister, and so forth, is it for my glory? If it is not for the glory of God, you might as well pack it in. Or you might be looking for praise from somebody. But, you know, that is not our portion, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, though I will speak thus, yet we are persuaded better things of you. Hallelujah. We are persuaded better things of the people that are sitting here. But we must speak what God commands us to speak. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, the word is like fire in my bones. And I got to say the word. Praise the Lord. Because if you are a watchman, you don't blow the trumpet, God will hold you responsible. So I am blowing the trumpet today. And, you know, somebody said, Paul said, I'm free of the blood of all men. Well, you know, I don't even want to be free. I've stood in prayer by the grace of God concerning this church. And I said, Lord, bring the glory of God into the unity of the faith like you promised. It's all about that. In John chapter 17 and verse 22, when in the book of Isaiah 42 and 18, God said, I will give my glory to nobody. I will share my glory to nobody. That was what God said about himself in the book of Isaiah. But when you come to John chapter 17, when Christ was praying about to leave, he said, Father, the glory, John 17 and 22, put up that scripture, the glory which I had with you from the beginning. Hallelujah. This is the same God that said, I will not share my glory with any man. But he said, the glory which thou gavest me from the beginning, I have given to them. And that's the last thing that the church is going to get. It's going to be the glory of God. But there is a way that they're going to get it. They're going to have to get away from the human mind. They're going to have to get away from flesh. They're going to have to go back into walking in the spirit. But the purpose of this glory, let's read the rest of the verse. What is the purpose of this glory? That they may be one, even as we are one. That's the purpose, folks. It's not for vain glory. It's not for me to show how great I can preach. It's not for me to show how mighty power is working in my miracles or my ministry. No, it is that they may be one. Because when they are one, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, for the love that you have one to another. How many of you can say praise the Lord? Now, there's one more thing that I want to say to us before we close. It is important that we understand this message. And there's a couple of verses I want to pick out from all the ones I skipped, you know, just so we know that Christ is the one that will give you reward at the end, and not worry about any man giving you reward. In the book of Revelation 22 and verse 12, let's put that scripture up real quickly. Revelation 22. And behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus speaking. And my reward is with me, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. Now, the Lord is the one that's going to reward you, folks. Don't look for reward from anybody. If you do get reward from anybody, you can no longer get the reward from the Lord. Because Jesus said, you have your reward. In Matthew chapter 6, he was telling them, when you do things not to be seen, when you pray ostentatious prayers, when you give ostentatiously so that people can see you, when you fast and you blow your own horn, you know, he said, you have your own reward. But if you want that true reward from God, see, never mind what people say. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the finish line. Keep your eyes on the prize. That's how you're going to get the real reward that's going to last forever. As a message I invite you to listen to on the website. It is called The Reward. The prize for the prize. Listen to it on the website. It will open your mind on so many things. There is a price, P-R-I-C-E, a cost that we must pay to obtain that prize, P-R-I-Z-E. And the cost sometimes is not loving your life unto the death. Revelation 12:11. It doesn't always mean dying, you know, being slaughtered and cutting their head off. No, it means being selfless. Crucifying yourself to the cross. Hallelujah. Take up your cross and follow me. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. You know, until today, folks, the devil, he looked at Jesus on the cross and he mocked him and told him, come down from that cross. Save yourself if you can do it like you saved others. Until this day, the devil is challenging believers to come down from the cross. We are supposed to be crucified with Christ. But the devil says, forget all that. And then you let your inner man, the old man, who is supposed to be buried, you let it flare up. And then you get bitter. But the Bible says, crucify that with the old flesh. Stay on the cross, folks. Don't come down from the cross. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Stay on the cross. Do not come down. The message today is a clear message. Let us go back to making it all about Jesus. If you do, it's unto the Lord. If you don't do, it's unto the Lord. Even in Romans 14, we are told about that. Somebody say, I eat herbs. Somebody say, I eat meat. And this and that. Somebody's complaining about the other person. No, the Bible says, look, if one doesn't eat, it's unto the Lord he doesn't eat. And if he eats, it's unto the Lord he eats. What are you worrying yourself about? Listen to this, folks. The wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Hello, folks. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, don't take the law into your hands and say somebody did this and somebody did that. Don't worry about that. You put your eyes on the Lord and great will be your reward. Now, I want you to lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. I'm not going to ask anybody to come out to the front because it might be a little bit of an embarrassing thing. But if the Lord spoke to you in this message, the Lord already dealt with me throughout the week. I myself, I had to repent because I lost my focus. See, and I've shared this with the other pastors. We lost focus sometime, but we let our eyes be on this and that and so forth. And we got to go back to where we missed the road. Instead of just continuing on and hoping that by some magic, everything will turn out right. No. That's why Jesus says, amend your ways. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 7. If you thoroughly amend your ways, saith the Lord, then you shall stand before me in this place. But if you do not amend your ways, remember what I did to Shiloh. And I will take the glory away. And it shall be said of that place, Ichabod. Folks, you just heard the word of the Lord. I didn't say thus saith the Lord. But those who are spiritual minded know that I just spoke prophetically to this church. And if you don't amend your ways, I will come unto you quickly. And I will remove the candlestick from its place. and the last state shall be worse than the first. But that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. As many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And when you hear the rebuke of the Lord, what do? It's always with joy. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This message is not about condemnation. If the devil whispers to you that it is condemnation, you need to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. It's not about condemnation. It's about refocusing on what we lost. Hallelujah. Now throw up your hands, everybody, and let's pray. I want everybody to take a few minutes. Pray. I want the praise team back on stage. Take a few minutes. And I want to challenge everybody that's here today. Whether you are in the praise team, whether you are in any kind of department in this church, you are not doing it for man. You are doing it as unto the Lord. You know, and sometimes people are lackadaisical in what they are doing because they think they are doing unto man. Well, folks, guess what? News flash, trumpet blowing, sound the alarm today. It is unto the Lord. So we need to wake up, folks, and begin to realize that it is unto the Lord. It is not for man. You're not doing anything for me as a pastor. Who am I? You know, you're not doing anything for the other pastors. Who are they? What you're doing is for the Lord. And this is for the pastors ourselves. Myself included, I being number one. We have been told by the Lord that we're not doing anything for the people. You are doing it for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there were some people in the Bible that didn't, you know, because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. They didn't want to declare their full stand. You know, well, Paul said, I will not shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And by the grace of God, I know that we've tried to preach the gospel the way best we know. By the grace of God, you will continue to hear out of this pulpit honey out of the rock. Amen. My doctrine shall drop like dew from heaven, and it shall be to the glory of God. And the Lord asked me to ask us again, is it for my glory? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray here this morning. Thy word that has gone forth, let it not return forward. And somebody say amen. Amen. Lord, I invoke your promise here this morning that your word shall not go void after it has gone forth, but it shall accomplish the purpose of God, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. Hallelujah. Lord, break down the stony hearts in us this morning and replace it with a heart of flesh. In the mighty name of Jesus. The work, the good work that God began through us and in us, in the spirit, let us continue in the spirit. Let us not try to be made perfect in the flesh. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, O Lord, thine is the kingdom. Can I get the folks to say, thine is the kingdom, O Lord? Can somebody put up that scripture for me? First Chronicles chapter 29. And let's read it together. And let's give all the glory to the Lord. Just like they did in the book of Revelation, he said, look, they cast their crowns before the Lord. They said, all of our achievements are nothing. We count them as dung. First Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. Let's give the Lord the glory together. Hallelujah. Thine, O Lord, everybody, thine, O Lord, is the greatness. And thine is the power, and thine is the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Hallelujah. Both riches and honor
come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might. Folks, are you reading with me? And in thy hand it is to make great, to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at all the accolades that he gave to the Lord. That is the greatness. That is the majesty. That is the power. That is the glory. Hallelujah. There are not enough adjectives to declare the glory of God. All the superlatives, that he is higher than the highest, he is greater than the greatest. We don't have any words to describe how great he is. Let's never forget it. Hallelujah. Sing for me. Greater thou, O Lord.
Greater thou, O Lord.
Everybody worship the Lord. Give him all the praise and the glory. Let's put our hands up. Wave your hands before the Lord. Wave your hands for the Lord. On behalf of myself, the pastors, and everybody that is part of this ministry, we repent of every time that we have removed our eyes from the Lord. Every time that we have come down from the cross, instead of staying crucified with Christ, we repent in Jesus' name. And every time that we have done anything for vainglory or for strife, we repent in Jesus' name. Now, O Lord, we return all the glory to you and all the honor. And help us to keep our eyes on the finish line, to keep our eyes on the Lord, and to always know that it is all about Jesus and it is all for your glory. We give you all the praise
and we give you all the glory, Lord. And we thank you because a new day has begun for GMI Church. A new day is here. Shout, shout for joy. Hallelujah. There is a new day. There's a new sound. There is a sound of an army arising. Now, the praise team will sing that. I hear the sound of an army arising again. While they are singing it, I want you to shout the victory and rejoice that you can come and put your offering here. But I want you to align yourself with the Lord in his army. Get rid of the distractions, said the Lord. And look unto me quickly, for I am the light of Israel. Amen. Let's get rid of those distractions. He is the light of his people. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that is in the house. Hallelujah. This is the time that the people of God should be laughing in and out of church. Hallelujah. We should not allow any bitterness, any root of bitterness to take hold. We thank you for as many as are giving joyfully. For God loves a joyful giver. Giver doesn't mean of money only. It means of yourself and of your time. When you give your time, when you give your efforts, give it joyfully unto the Lord. Never mind what somebody else is saying or doing. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We are going to close this service. And I'm asking the Lord to bless all those that have given of money, of substance, and of themselves. Bless them in Jesus' name. Now, as we say the grace, and after we say the grace, I want the praise team to remain for a few minutes and continue to sing, I hear the sound of an army arising, for a few minutes after we say the grace. Bless your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.